I was set upon by a woman a few years ago in Ohio after a poetry reading. A dog trainer who talked to me for hours in her car. It was one of those meetings of the soul where one meets a person that one feels immediately close to and the other person feels much like stone, not so close to the other person. I was the stone person. The van smelled of dogs. And more I felt for the person, and I felt for myself at the same time as I heard of the pedigrees of each of the dogs. At some point, she told me about homeless people in Springfield, Ohio, and how a bus came from Dayton to pick them up and to take them to a homeless shelter there. And I began to feel good about myself just hearing that. And she mentioned St. Vincent de Paul, and I thought, that's the club St. Vincent de Paul. I know that's absurd. But I think I've romanticized the poor all my life, as many people have. Not when I was poor myself, but, you know, at other times. You know, I feel good thinking about starving people, poor people, all people who are weaker than me. It's just natural to me. I always liked hanging around people who were uglier than me, and it made me. Occasionally, I'd walk around, I'd see myself in windows with certain people, and I'd realize I'm kind of a sturdy-looking guy. I'd better start hanging out with some uglier people. So this is about the romanticization of the poor. It's called a romance of the poor. The poor people in Springfield go to Dayton to be miserable in style. They can hug themselves when they lie side by side on the iron cots. They can luxuriate in one red bean held under the tongue. For them, a discarded refrigerator crate tipped on its side and lined with plastic bags is the green shore of an island and a palace's velvet halls. Every morning, they check out of the club St. Vincent de Paul, and they clump in the warm gust that scowl up from the sewers. They can strip the aluminum from gutters as their mothers harvested eggs from boxes of straw. Against that snow that is all edge, they can wobble and careen from bumper to light pole, dancing with a parking meter before dying into the hydrant under the fire escape. Deliriously happy, they lift the sweetest and heaviest wine and sink down where the metal is warm across from the cafeteria and that other richest trough, kingdom of heaven on earth, emerald dumpster of the pizzeria. What does it matter if I heap treasure from the stick people, far off and helpless, fluttering of brown coats? Their lives are not my life. I come as a tourist to their woe. But I remember how quickly dark fell 20 years ago, thumbing from Greensboro to Boulder. I carried one change of clothes, a notebook, and a little more than $7. And I thought I could live by the grace of hippies and priests, or failing that, prey on park squirrels and the ducks from municipal ponds. I did not have to go that way. I could have gone on wrestling those big sacks of fertilizer from the co-op storage bins to the beds of pickup trucks, or bludgeoning ice from the front steps of the Coliseum. But I had to get it straight from the black road and the mouth of the blue norther. There is a high ledge under every overpass where you can sleep if it is not too cold. One morning, I woke there beside a short man, a carny and ex-con reared in the Tennessee Industrial School and a dozen foster homes. We talked a stupid dream of burglary. We committed the crime of brotherhood. Then, hungry and stiff, we trudged up the ramp to a truck stop where he meant to convince me to knife a man for $300 locked in a drawer. He said we could get away. We could take any of those semis idling outside that place like great buffaloes blowing clouds and clearing their throats. But I've taken nothing. I've gotten away clean to Illinois. Tonight the stakes frown up at me through the odor of blood, and the poor need no help from poems to limp down the alley and up into the van. They glide to Dayton. They check into the Club St. Vincent de Paul. Whatever it is not much that makes a man more than a scrap of paper torn out of a notebook and thrown from the window of a bus. But it is more than nothing. If he holds himself straight up and does not take the life next to his own, give him that much. Leave him his joy. Another really cheery poem now that I think of it.